السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Ulama e kiram, most respected brothers or sisters at the madrasa, and those listening over receivers. In this majlis of Islam, we have been discussing over the past 2-3 weeks the nasihat, wasiyat of Hazrat Mawlana Badr-e Alam Rahmatullah Ali, to whom he calls my Aziz. So to his beloved friends, to his Mutalliqeen, or those who have bayat to him, or those who had some kind of aqidat and muhabbat, love and respect for him. So he gave them some nasihat. And in reality, it is nasihat which is from the Quran Sharif and from the Hadith Sharif, but it is in poetry form. And the message is general, it is for everybody. Whether the person is able to go to Madina Sharif or is not able to go. But there are many, many things that he has mentioned, which as we go along, we will be discussing, which is common to all of us. So just to recap it in a few minutes. Azizo ko mujhe ikra zaki hai ab khabar karna, agar mehfooz rehna ho to toiba mein guzar karna, agar mehfooz rehna ho to toiba mein guzar karna. Jahan ab phansne wala hai fitan mein deen o imaan ke, bahut mushkil hai momin ko kahin bahar basar karna. Now we have discussed this, that he says that I wish to reveal a secret now to my friends, that if you wish to remain protected, if you want your iman to be protected, if you want your Islam to be protected, if you want to make your life easy, to make practice on Islam easy, so then what must you do? So then come and spend the rest of your life here in Madina Sharif. That means if it is possible, then migrate, go over to Madina Sharif and spend the remaining days of your life in Madina Sharif. That's the place it will be easy to protect. That is the place it will be easy to be safeguarded from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. There will be attacks of nafs and shaitan even in Madina Sharif or Makkah Sharif, but due to the environment and due to the noor and the barakat of that Mubarak place, and any Muslim that will be going to settle there, obviously he has got great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then there will be some kind of ihtiram in his heart for that Mubarak land. He will be cautious of the fact that, and conscious of the fact that he is walking on that same ground that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walked, the Sahaba ikram walked, Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, so many of them walked, millions of Awliya ikram walked, where so many verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam established the Islamic state, from where Islam spread then throughout the world, where the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is, where the mihrab and the mimbar of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is, where the Riyazul Jannah is, where the Jannatul Baqi is. Now all these things the person will have in his mind, so he'll be cautious, inshallah. And again, it will be protected from the fitnas of Dajjal, or the entry of Dajjal. Dajjal will not be able to enter into Madina Sharif. So he says, agar mehfooz rehna ho to tawbah mein guzar karna. Why? Because jahan ab phansne wala hai, fitan mein deen o ima ke. About 50 years ago he mentioned this, but he says throughout the world there's going to be a lot of fitnas, lot of fitnas. Now at that time there were not so much of fitnas when he mentioned this. But they get kush because they have great caliber. But they could see the fitnas coming. Now this is not ilmi ghaib. Ilmi ghaib is something else. This is in the light of the Quran and Sunnah, the person can see that fitnas are coming. And people are drifting away more and more from Islam, from Deen, from Sharia, from Quran and Sunnah. That the love of dunya is settling in the heart. We must not confuse the two. One is the usage of dunya, the acquisition of dunya. Now that is permissible. We all need dunya. To build masajid, we need dunya. To go for Hajj and Umrahs, we need dunya. To assist the poor and needy, we need dunya. To maintain our families and to sustain, we need dunya. What we are talking about is the love of this dunya. When it starts settling in the heart, then fitna start. And then the more the wealth comes, the more the nudity, the more the shamelessness, the more the obscenity, the more the restlessness, and the more the haram indulgences after that. Instead of that dunya bringing a person closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as I mentioned that when a person doesn't have any money, in those days when the television sets were very expensive, even the very small one was quite a bit of sum for the ordinary person. So first the person bought a very small one, portable one. Then as the money increased, the salaries increased and it increased in size. The TV increased in size. Then as the salary increased even more, or when it was easy to buy on HPs, so then the person increased the size of that screen so much that cinemas have come into our homes now, cinema screens. And people are unconcerned, the children, what they are watching, what they themselves are watching. So these type of fitnas, if a person wants to stay away from, then he must get away to Madina Sharif. So we will say that even in Madina Sharif now, in practically every room there is a television. So there nobody asks him to switch it on. And when he is in Madina Sharif, then if he has got a little bit of iman, little bit of muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the person is going to be very, very concerned. He's not going to switch it on and watch all that haram that he watches here, because he will realize that he is in Madina Sharif. So we are not talking about those people who don't have a conscience, or those who are just wanting to settle there for other reasons. We are talking about the person who wants to settle to safeguard himself from the fitnas. So if he is in Madina Sharif, at least he'll have that realization that I'm in Madina Sharif. The moment some shaitani temptations will come, he will say, how can I engage or indulge in this sin here in Madina Sharif? We have people who commit zina in Madina Sharif. We have people who watch all the filth in Madina Sharif. We have people who steal in Madina Sharif. We have people who engage in lots of haram in Madina Sharif. So now we are not talking about that category. We are talking about the person who is making hijrat from his hometown to Madina Sharif for the sole purpose of protecting himself from fitnas. So then why should he engage in such kind of things there, when the environment is such a good environment? The moment the temptation come, go away to the Haram Sharif. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has put into their hearts that they must keep it open now 24 hours of the day. So go away to the Haram Sharif. Look at the Rosa Mubarak. Read Salat and Salam. Go and read Quran Sharif. Sit in Riyazul Jannah. Go to the graveyard of Medina Sharif. Go to Mount of Uhud. Go and see all these places. All those temptations will go away. So if the person wants to protect himself and safeguard himself, he says, come away there. Because there are going to be great, great fitnas in the world. And bahut mushkil hai mu'min ko. Even pious and righteous people, even if the person is a scholar of deen, the person is in the activities and works of deen, the person is participating in the majalis of khanqas and zikr, the person is engaged in dawat, the person is engaged in teaching, so many good activities a person can be engaged in. But the moment he goes out into the bazaars and marketplaces, then look at the temptations. Now the person, how strong an iman he has to have, how much of taqwa he has to have to restrain himself from those type of fitnas and temptations. It's very easy to give a bayan that the person must lower his gaze when any kind of pretty woman is going past or any kind of haram is attracting. But it's only that person who has got that realization in his heart. Koi dekhe ya na dekhe, Khuda dekh raha hai. He's got that concept. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. When he's got that in his heart, Allah Ta'ala's watching, there's no question of power failure, that the cameras fail. So if the person has got the sifat of ihsan in his life, أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. Worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And if not, then Allah Ta'ala is seeing us. So that sifat, that Allah Ta'ala is watching, even if we haven't got that level of taqwa and piety and ihsan sifat that we are seeing Him. So that person who will be conscious of the fact that Allah Ta'ala is watching every move, every action of his, then he'll eat, he'll drink, he'll marry, he'll conduct his business, he will laugh, he will joke, he will do everything as a normal human being does. He's not going to go on to extremes and become an abnormal person. But at the same time, the person will stay away from everything that is displeasing to his creator, his sustainer, his master. Then he said that jo na qadri mein guzri wo to guzri zindagi apni, jo baqi hai usi ki qadr tum ab zindagi bhar karna. That life which is gone, we cannot bring back a single second from that life. But he said the life which remains now, then spend it in a most befitting man. Appreciate every second of that life, every hour of that life. Look at the people, sudden turn they take in their life and they're gone from this world to rise no more. Those tongues will speak no more. Those eyes which were enjoying all the haram can see no more. Those ears which were listening to the music and all the ghibat and everything else can listen no more. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha. Jo qabr e kohan uski ukhdi to dekha, na uzwe badan tha na tare kafan tha. Nobody took along his Mercedes Benz and his Rolls Royce and his Jaguars. Nobody took it along to the Qabristan. Nobody took his oil wells to the Qabristan. No one took the palaces to the Qabristan. Nobody took his designer label clothes to the Qabristan. Nobody took the gold and silver to the Qabristan. Everything remained behind. Once again, don't misunderstand. All these things are permissible to make use of. It is a world which Allah Ta'ala has created for our benefit. So we make use of uranium, silver, platinum, gold, everything Allah Ta'ala has created. Muslim is allowed to use it, it has been created for the usage. But whilst the person was using it, he was conscious of the fact that a day will come when he will have to leave behind everything. So the only thing that will be his is what he sent ahead. That which he eats and he digests, those clothes that he wore, and they were torn and tattered, and those charities which he gave and sent ahead, that's all that is his. All that remains is for the heirs. They will go on fighting after that. Look at the amount of quarrels and fights and disputes and arguments ending up in courts of law, costing millions of rands over estates. And that person is gone in the Qabristan. So kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha, very fit and healthy bodies, and the kafans also. Oh, Hazrat says, change it to Mubayyiz kafan tha, white kafans, very good high quality material kafans. But after some time, he says, when we open the qabr, na uzve badan tha na tare kafan tha, neither was there any part of the body there, nor was there any sign of the kafan there. Ah, what are we going to take with us and go? Therefore, use the same things, but make them zakhira of akhirat. Make them a provision for the akhirat. The Muslim eats the same food and he makes it provision for the akhirat. He drinks those same juices and enjoys them, but makes it provision for the akhirat. He conducts business, he marries, he brings up his children, does everything, but he makes it a provision for the akhirat by doing it according to the will and pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dua'e mangana, dua'e mangana uski, ke ab jo umr baqi hai, khuda tumko ata kar de, madine mein basar karna. Pray to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the life which remains, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless with the opportunity to spend it in Madina Sharif. Even if we don't go, but if we have that desire, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward in accordance with our niyat and our desire. Allah ta'ala's fazl and mercy is unlimited. Nobody will give like that, just on the niyat and desire the person is getting. Rewards upon rewards upon rewards. So we have discussed this already, we are just trying to recap it. Because we know there is a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, Man zarani muta'ammidan, the person who visits me and his intention and niyat also is nothing but to visit me, then he will be my neighbor on the day of Qiyamah. Kana fi jiwari yawm al-qiyamah. So this is what he is talking about, ya khuda tumko ata kar de, madine mein basar karna. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, wa man sakana al-madina wa sabara ala bala'iha, the person who stays in Madina Sharif and he takes patiently all the difficulties, hardship, anything that he experiences there, then he does not become restless and want to pack up his bag and go away to a foreign land. So many people those days when it was a little bit of difficult, so that's what they did, they packed up their bags and went away to America and to Europe and to UK and all other parts of the world. They left Madina Sharif for no other reason, just because they could not take the little difficulties of Madina Sharif. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that person who will take those difficulties, then I will be a shafi for him, I will intercede on his behalf. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, there will be a witness for that person, shaheed kuntu shaheedan wa shafi'an yawm al-qiyamah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that whosoever dies in one of the haramain sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah or Madina Tayyiba, then he will be raised on the day of qiyamah. Ba'athahu Allahu min al-aminin, from those who will be secured, protected. What else the person wants? سو خدا تم کو عطا کر دے مدینے میں بسر کرنا.
بھروسہ بھول کر بھی تم نہ کرنا اپنی دولت پر, نہیں آسان کسی کو اس کٹھن منزل کا سر کرنا.
Never, never, ever trust your wealth. All my work I can accomplish with this wealth of mine. This is in our heads, that if you've got wealth, then finish. Everything will happen. I've discussed this also. That look at the big kingdoms that people were ruling over. And look at the palaces they had. And look at the gold and the silver and the treasures they had. But all that wealth did not come to their assistance. So many of them landed in jail, or they were executed, or their kingdoms were overthrown, whatever happened. So many people who were at one time enjoying all the luxuries, but conditions changed and they became refugees. We saw with our own eyes. Allah Ta'ala must protect, because it is very difficult when a person is of a very high standard in his living, and then for him to then reduce to that level and come down to a refugee, or the person is now in prison, or the person is now in some other kind of difficulty. It's very, very difficult. We must make dua, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must protect everybody. So he says, don't have trust in your wealth. Use the wealth, but that is not God. We have made all these things our ilah. Just as we have made our passions also our ilah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. You've seen the person who has made his passions into God. Allah is something to be worshipped. Allah is to be worshipped. Ibadat we make of Allah. We bow down before Allah. We submit before Allah. Now the person who submits before his passions and desires, so he has made Allah of his desires. Then whatever desire comes in the heart, he says, آمَنَّا وَصَدَّقُنَا. So then what does it mean? He has made Allah of his desires. So some have made wealth their Allah. As you say, that if you ask somebody, if there's an idol that is made of gold, and a Muslim has to be asked that if you pray to this idol, can it help you? So the Muslim will say, never, never. Idol of gold can be, but it can't help. Say, all right, now we slice that into many, many pieces of gold, and we give you some big chunk from there of gold. Now will it help? Oh yes, definitely. Now it must help. Not just now it was not helping, but now when it came into chunk of gold, now it must help. All my work will now be. So must use the dawlat of dunya, but don't let it come into the heart. The ship requires plenty of water to sail. It can't sail on a small Amgeni river there, one big ship. It requires the whole ocean. But that water must remain outside the ship, must not come into the ship, otherwise it will cause the ship to sink and the passengers also to drown. It will be disaster. So let the love of the wealth not come into the heart, let it remain outside the heart. It's very easy to say these things, but the haqiqat and reality can only come when we have the company of those people who don't have the love in their hearts. They have the dunya, but they don't have the love of it. Then we will see in their lives qanaat, istighna, contentment, satisfaction. If Allah Ta'ala gives it, alhamdulillah. And if they don't have it, then to alhamdulillah. Nahi asa, it's not very easy to go through these manzils of sakrat and all death and everything else. So he says, therefore ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection.
Hamesha ijz o zari se Hamesha ahunala se Fakat ek us ki rahmat par جمع کر تم نظر کرنا. امیدیں اس سے رکھنا جس کی ki rahmat hai jahano par usi se mangna aur bas usi par tum nazar karna
hamesha izzazari se hamesha ahonala se. That is one thing that Allah tabaraka wa taala dearly loves, when the person humbles himself, expresses his total helplessness before Allah tabaraka wa taala. He does not express pride and arrogance. He worships Allah tabaraka wa taala with complete humility. That's the only thing that Allah taala does not have in his treasures, in his sifat, in his attributes. There is no question of Allah tabaraka wa taala being very humble, very meek. Now, is that an appropriate sifat for Allah taala if we said Allah taala is very, very humble? That is a sifat of the mu'min, that the mu'min must be extremely humble. As I mentioned in some other majlis, some of you may have heard, some of you may not have heard, that one Christian priest, when he came to discuss Islam and Christianity, so before he could start, I told him, I said, I don't know very much about, or I don't have an in-depth study of the Bible. I have some knowledge of it. But what I wish to ask you is one simple question, that what kind of a God would you like to worship? A God who is extremely weak, very meek, helpless, seeking the help and assistance of his creation. That kind of God? Or you want a God who is powerful, almighty, all-hearing, all-seeing, all-knowing, all treasures lie with him, he can help and assist, whether you call him in the dark or in the light, in the day or at night? So I say, when we go to a church or we go to some Christian home and we see the picture of Jesus Christ that is hanging on the cross, he's nailed there, and he's looking so terribly depressed and suppressed and oppressed, and he's seeking assistance, and there's great helplessness in that picture also. When you look at it, it shows you that this person is really, really needing my help and assistance. So that God who is suffering such kind of pain and sick and weakness, I will never ever submit to such a God, because how is he going to help me when he is requiring my assistance and help? So we believe already in an Allah who is all powerful, almighty, and I took it from that direction. So we can't believe in that Allah is weak and helpless, but Allah Ta'ala wants us to express our helplessness, our weakness. Ya Allah, I am absolutely nothing. Whatever I have, it is your gift and your bounty. It is a sickness of a stupid person to be proud and arrogant, because he believes that everything is of his own making. Hard work. I worked very hard. But which grandfather gave him the strength to work very hard? Who gave him the strength? Who gave him the sight? Who gave him the hearing? Who gave him the speech? Who gave him the intelligence? Look at so many people, fit, healthy, very, very intelligent they were. And suddenly some brain damage or some stroke or something, and everything is gone. Of course, this type of strokes and brain injuries and damages and all can take place to even the pious and the righteous ones. But for them it is an elevation of the status and darajat. Allah Ta'ala wants to give them some very high stages. So it can come. But what I am saying is that no one can say that it is of my doing. Make shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ya Allah, your fazal, your kindness, you gave me intelligence to be able to achieve these distinctions. That is why I mentioned to some students who had some distinctions, some A's. So I said, if the person has got A's and he's got distinctions and he's got everything, but he hasn't got the A of Allah in his life, he hasn't got the A of akhlaq in his life, he hasn't got the A of a'mal in his life, he hasn't got the A of ashiq in his life, A of abid in his life, the person does not have all these type of A's. Fajr time he is sleepy, other namazes he is missing, his lifestyle is drink, gamble, adultery, fornication. So then what is the purpose of all distinctions? So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, Ummeed usse rakhna jiski rahmat hai jahan upar. Have great hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. He is not there just to punish. Allah Ta'ala does not enjoy punishment. We get a very wrong impression sometimes when we listen to some bayan about Jahannam, azab of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala does not want to send us to Jahannam. What was the purpose of creating Jannat then? Why did He send 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Why did He reveal the Quran Sharif? Why did He send so much of Mashayikh and Ulama-i Haq? Why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala create the means of getting hidayat, masajid, madaris, khanqas, tabligh and dawat, so much of kitabs and publication? All these things are clear signs and clear indication that Allah ta'ala wants that we must get hidayat and go to Jannat and enjoy the ni'mats there. Ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun samiat wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. That is what he wants. But now if the mother goes on telling the child that don't go near that fire, don't put your finger there, don't touch this hot iron, it will burn your finger. But the child says, no, I will touch it. So like that, Allah Ta'ala showed us both the ways. Now He left it to us, He gave us a willpower. Now choose whichever road you want. Allah Ta'ala will not force us. Although He has the power if He wanted to do that. If Allah Ta'ala had appointed one angel, that the person who is sleeping Fajr Namaz time, He gives him one tight slap on the right cheek, and if he doesn't get up, then another one on the left one. So then will he remain sleeping? Or if the person's bed has to catch on fire, if he doesn't get up Fajr time, then he starts feeling the heat from beneath the bed and fire catches on. If every person that was happening to him, will anybody remain on his bed Fajr time? You'll find the whole ummah running to the masjid. Which person will like his bed catching on fire? So Allah Ta'ala can make it happen. All these volcanoes, can't Allah Ta'ala make it happen? If we believe in volcanoes, look at all the other disasters. So Allah Ta'ala does not want, Allah Ta'ala gave us a willpower. He said, now you choose, because if you want to go to Jannat, you choose. Allah Ta'ala wants we must go to Jannah. The whole Quran Sharif, look at the amount of encouragement. Look at the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So as human beings, we made mistakes. Now don't keep on playing the record of mistakes. We made mistakes, now that's the past. Yes, those mistakes which need rectification. Namazes which were missed, make qaza. Fasts which were missed, keep qaza slowly. We don't say overnight everything will happen. Owings of monies to people. So now if the person has changed his life today, so now start making the niyat that I will pay everybody every cent that I am owing him. If the person caused injury, pain, hurt, then ask for forgiveness. So then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will welcome the person and He will put him in that road that leads to Jannah. So He says, keep on begging of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Don't lose hope in His mercy. Don't lose hope in His maghfirat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves maghfirat very, very dearly. Out of His 100% mercy, Allah ta'ala has only sent down 1% into this world. Only 1%. The 99% of His rahmat He has kept for the akhirat. That 1% mercy that's in this world, the father loves the child, the mother loves the child, husband loves the wife, wife loves the husband, the animals, the mercy that they show to their offsprings, and all the other mercy that we find in this world for poor and needy and destitute. It's only 1% of that mercy that Allah Ta'ala has sent down. 99% He has kept for the akhirat. So how much Allah Ta'ala will give of His mercy in the akhirat? If only we have the ma'rifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala must bless us with His ma'rifat. The cloud of sins has covered our hearts. Therefore, we can't seem to understand what is deen.
Tijarat ke irade se
न आना इस तरफ हरगिज, तिजारत के इरादे से न आना इस तरफ हरगिज, कनाअत से यहाँ रहना, शराफत से गुजर करना, कनाअत से यहाँ रहना, शराफत से गुजर करना. Says, don't ever come with the niyat of tijarat to Madina Sharif. Once again, we must not misunderstand. Does it mean that all people that are doing business in Madina Sharif, they must all close up their business? All those who are doing import-export, they must close up. If all of them have to close up their tijarat, will we get milk, bread, food? Will we be able to survive there? So it does not mean that. What it means is that your niyat must not be that I just want to make money in Madina Sharif. As I explained, I think, when we were discussing it earlier on, for those that were not here, that in one of the Hajj, at that time that ice cream shop was very close to the Haram Sharif in Madina Sharif. And over 1 million or 2 million ice creams a day he must be selling them. So there was one person all the time, he was just calculating how much money this person must have made, how much money this month he must have sold so much, and if on each ice cream he makes so much, then he must have made so much, and if that person sold so much of that, then it's, and that person who's supplying food, if he's supplying so many hotels here, his magaj was only in how much those people were making. So he says, don't come with that niyat. If the person comes, and by the way he does business, by the way to survive, nothing wrong there. If he does big business too, nothing wrong. But his heart must be there in Madina Sharif. I am there because my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is here. And I want to protect myself and my iman. I have come here so that I may get the rahmat and barakat and the noor of this Mubarak place. Then by the way he does tijarat, it says no problem. But don't come with the irada of tijarat. Anaat se yahan rehna. Nobody will be starving there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Madina Sharif he provides. If outside Madina Sharif he provides so much of risk and sustenance, you think he's going to die there in Madina Sharif? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for double barakat in Madina Sharif. He said the barakat of Makkah Sharif, he said, must give double in Madina Sharif. And we notice it too, the barakat in the money, barakat in the food, barakat in everything, there's nothing but barakat. So tijarat ke irade se na aana is taraf hargis, qanaat se yahan rehna. We stay here with qanaat, contentment and satisfaction. Whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provides, make shukar over it. Eat, drink with qanaat. And then by the way the person makes some tijarat. But human nature is that. Now recently things have been opening up and people are now buying land there, they're buying buildings there, they're buying properties there. So the talk and the buzz and the discussion is how much that person can make and how much we can make if we just buy this today and sell it tomorrow and build it up and do this and do that. Now the magaj is again gone in the same. Where is the person if he buys so that he may be able to live there with qanaat, with shukar, with sabar? There's no problem. But again the same. The person once obsessed with nothing but increase in wealth, and yet he has got everything in the world for. So we have to be very, very cautious and careful. Why do we want to settle in Madina Sharif? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must take me, take you and take everybody. But he must give us the tawfiq to stay there with qanaat, with the ihtiram of that Mubarak land. And say, sharafat se guzar kar. Spend your life with sharafat. Life of piety, taqwa, zuhud, qanaat, good akhlaq, good morals, good character. If the person is staying in Madina Sharif, but his akhlaq is of Namrud and Firaun, then... So the akhlaq has to be of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the mal of Madina Sharif. I've mentioned so many times, the mal of Madina Sharif is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. When we come back from there, we fill up our bags and we bring. Nothing wrong again if the person is bringing something as a gift for the family, for the friends. But what did we bring inside? Did we bring about a change in our lives? Can our neighbors say that this person brought the mal of Madina Sharif, the real mal? Can our wives say that? Can our parents say that? Our children say that? Or do they say that the more this person goes for Hajj and comes back, the more problems? One person was saying, every time that my landlord goes for Hajj, then we must brace ourselves for an increase of 10% in the rental to cover up his Hajj costs. So sometimes you get two increases a year because he goes for Hajj and Umrah. So sharafat se yahan, akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam.
Agar dar pe ho koi bhi kisi iza rasani ke tajahul arifana kar ke phir bhi dar guzar karna.
Don't worry about the voice, it's a 63-year-old voice. So he says, if any person tries to cause you any harm there, if any person causes some taklif, some pain, some problem, says something that caused you some hurt, then tajahule arifana, do as if you never heard it. Don't give it too much of importance. Don't start fighting and arguing. He says, you are in Madina Sharif. Dar guzar karna. Overlook it, because that is that akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again. It's very easy to make 5 times namaz and cry in the dua and cry in Arafat and cry in Mina. But when somebody says something and the person loses his temper and loses control of himself, how can you tell this to me? Don't you know who I am? I can put you right, and I got this and person and that person in the department. Finally, the person is going to end up in the graveyard. And the person who wants to end up in the graveyard of Madina Tayyibah, then what must he have? He must have the highest akhlaq. Overlook, forgive, have a large heart. Don't be demanding there to my right, my right, my right. Go out of your way to assist and help. Overlook your right and fulfill the rights of others. Make tajahule arifana, make darguzar. Then that we will say the person is now obeying Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Sul man qatahak wa afu amman zalamak wa ahsin ila man asa ilayk. The person who breaks off relation with you, you join. The person who causes you harm and does injustice to you, overlook. And do good to the person who does evil to you. Idfa' billati hiya ahsan. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَذَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. So that is the teaching of the Quran, and that was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even those who were after his blood, those who left no stone unturned in persecuting, in torturing. Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala being stoned mercilessly in Taif, his shoes are getting filled with his Mubarak blood. Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for whom the whole kainat was created. It is boycotted and ostracized for 3 solid years. 3 years. It's like being in prison for 3 years. And at least the prisons here, the person will get some food and some clothing, and now they get music also, and they get A-class treatment also in many prisoners. Some of them, according to the head of the department, they won when we were called at the Westville prisons for a meeting with the heads some years back. So he said there are many of them who would like to come back again inside. It is much better. The conditions are much better inside than being outside. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must protect. But now here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 3 solid years, ostracized and boycotted. Chewing leather for survival, chewing leaves of trees for survival. Everything stopped. Total boycott, ostracism out in the jungles. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after all that too, when a person accepted Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said everything maaf, finish. Look at the time of Fatah of Makkah Sharif, read this history. Look at the magnanimity of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's heart. Nothing but forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And here if somebody has to tell us one word, and lifelong we hold on to it. The person said this to me, how can I ever forgive him? And I've mentioned many times in my bayans, especially Laylatul Barat nights, that many people say that he must not even come to my janaza salat. I don't want to even see him in my janaza salat. So will he be able to see him in the janaza salat? Will he raise his head out of the janaza and check up if he's there? So and so is here or not. In fact, he must make a wasiyah that please do come to my janaza salat. So at least I'll have one more person there to make dua maghfirat. So we'll have to learn this akhlaq. So he says in Madina Sharif, Tajahul Arifan, as if we never saw it, as if we never heard of it. Just carry on. Dar guzar karna. And then see how beautiful life will be. What beautiful life. The person will get such sukoon, as it is Madina Sharif is a place of sukoon. And then that sukoon will come into his heart. So there'll be sukoon outside, sukoon inside, sukoon everywhere. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless me, bless you, and bless the entire ummah with the opportunity of settling in Madina Sharif. What does it cost to ask? We say, how it is going to happen? I don't have any money, I don't have this, I don't have that. If you don't have it and don't have anything, still the niyat is there. And how it will happen, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made everything else happen. So what is it difficult for you? The Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he said, whatever is muqaddar for a person, the person will eat. And if the person is the poorest of the poor, but in his taqdeer is that he must eat the best of food, somehow Allah Ta'ala will make him a cook for the king. So now the food of the king he will eat also. The leftover food of the king, he will eat the same food, and yet is the poorest of the poor. If the person's taqdeer, for example, is to drive a Rolls Royce, Mercedes Benz, somehow he will end up working for some garage that sells those cars. Now that person is driving a Mercedes Benz, top class. But he himself has nothing in his pocket, no food at home too, but he's driving as a driver to deliver the car they deliver, which those cars which we never sat in, the poorest of the poor sometimes is driving that car. Or you'll become the friend of somebody that is owning that kind of a car. Allah Ta'ala's system is unique. We can't understand it. Why must we lose hope in Allah Ta'ala's qudrat and power? Submit ourselves, that's all. And don't have our niyat and our gaze on anybody's wealth or property or anything. Put our gaze on Allah Ta'ala's treasures. Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. When He will give from His treasures, then there'll be no limit. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار العيوب غفار الذنوب الله ہم گنہگار ہے سیاہکار ہے بدکار ہے مجرم اور خطاکار ہے سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں. My beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Day and night we have disobeyed you. We have used your bounties for your disobedience. But my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you. This part of the night we have extended our begging bowls before you. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our lives. We are living a life of negligence, indifference, ghaflat, ghaflat, my beloved Allah. Give us the realization that you are watching every move of ours, that you are aware of everything that we are doing. My beloved Allah, become ours and make us yours. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. ہوا وہ حرص والا دل بدل دے میرا غفلت میں ڈوبا دل بدل دے بدل دے دل کی دنیا دل بدل دے خدا یا فضل فرما دل بدل دے خدا یا فضل فرما گنہگاری میں کب تک عمر کاٹوں بدل دے میرا رستہ دل بدل دے یا اللہ bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering of the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam around the globe. Bless us all with good health, with long life, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Bless us with rizq halal in abundance. Create the conditions, my beloved Allah, for us to settle in Madina Tayyibah. Ya Allah, we have no other reason for asking except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shafaat we seek. Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah bless us with Jame Kausar from the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Ya Allah, let the remaining days of our life be spent in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyibah, with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Kaash Madina ab watan hota, wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi goro kafan hota. My beloved Allah, it's not difficult for you to create the conditions. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas, and especially the fitnas of Dajjal that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one that has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problem, the sicknesses, diseases that each and every one who has raised his or her hand is suffering. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering and the hardships. Those who are sick, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are unemployed or having financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq. Ya Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-i Mustaqim. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.